Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the name of the Lord.
I want to get ready tonight to tell the people in New York that we're praying for you. The people in California have floods. We had a mini tornado in some places. And we're getting ready to talk about God is in control of things. And I want to tell you tonight, those that are listening, Sister Mary Hawkins, I'm praying for you. Sister Tanya Scott, I'm praying for you. Dr. Christian, I'm praying for you tonight. Russell, I'm praying for you. And I want to tell you, Lorraine Wade, I'm praying for you. We're just getting back on the air because the storm had took us off the air. Then the earthquake came, took us off the air. So for the first time, we're on the air tonight. And I want to say to you that the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob and the divine will of God will keep us in divine way. I want to thank you for coming to Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank you for your calls. I want to thank you for those that are seated in the ministry talking to the Bright Star. She was saying about so much going on. I was talking to Sister Milton Harris. So much going on across this land. But I want to say to you tonight, God is still in control. And whatever you need, God got it. Remind me of the prodigal son. He was ready to go out into the world. He said, Dad, give me what's owed to me, and I want to go out abroad. But Daddy didn't argue with him, gave him his share. He left out with his band of people. He left out with his team. After a few months, lost everything, the money, the gold, didn't have nowhere to eat, nowhere to sleep, found himself in a hog pen with the hogs. Some of us tonight have found ourselves turn our back against God. But the God of the universe, the Almighty God, is the God that will carry you to the next level. I want to salute tonight Master Musa, the most richest man in the world. And I want to salute Reverend Ike, who was a trailblazer in economic development back in the day. These men understood economics, understood money, understood what it takes to lift a people up that was downtrodden. And I want to say that to you. And I think that's important.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house,
yes,
and to be joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill.
Yes.
Out of your mess and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now that God is uplifting us in the spite of the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and picked you up where you can't get up.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor said you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I controls the universe.
Yeah.
And if God controls the universe today, and I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with ups and downs because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know whatever you might be going through.
Yes.
Get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you sit. Your present state going to change in 2014, 2015, 2016. Get ready for a breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready to name your healing.
Yeah.
Get ready to name your deliverer, Jesus.
Thank you,
get ready to set all is well.
Yeah.
I need somebody to say to me, Bishop, all is well. As I go through things, I can see things are working for you because you know that God set high and look low.
Yeah.
And he's bringing you up out the dunghill of dust and mess. He bring you out of all this confusion, witchcraft, sickness, and all the things that's going on around the world.
Yeah.
So God is about to lift you up this morning. It reminds me of the prodigal son. As he went out and rotted living and spent all his money,
yes.
He come to himself,
yes,
found himself in a hog pen,
yes.
And looked around and said, wait a minute, I come to myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I know I don't supposed to be in this condition. I want to tell you, you don't supposed to be in the condition you're in.
Yes.
When you come to yourself,
thank
you're going to raise up and say, enough is enough.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank
but
you.
As we go on today, he looked around and said, I'm in the hog pen with the hogs.
Yes.
Let me paraphrase a little bit for you. You are there hungry.
Thank
you're there ain't got no job.
Thank
you're there where all kind of rotten living is going on and you accepting it.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to come to your senses this evening. I want you to come to your senses this morning.
Yes.
I want you to come to your senses. I need to get up and get out and go to the Creator.
Yes.
Who made me.
Thank you.
I'm talking about Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And when this young man came to himself, he dusted himself off and pulled what little rags he had up. So I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Thank you, Lord.
To my father.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going back.
Yeah.
To where Jesus. I'm going back to where food.
Yes.
I'm going back where I can be healed. I'm going back where I can come off of dope, alcohol, and drugs. I'm going back where I got a peace of mind. Somebody, young man, you need to come back.
Yes.
Young
yes.
woman, you need to come back.
Yes.
Somebody needs to come
yes.
back to Jesus.
Oh,
you've
yes.
been in the whole pen
yes.
too long. You've been down too long. You've been suffering too long. You ought to come on back. As I'm coming back to Jesus, I can imagine in my eye, the young man got ready, and he began to walk down that long corridor, and look at, you know, way made down south, they got big homes, and you can see for miles when you get on the property. When the young man got on his father's property, he felt a little bit better, because he was aching, he was with pain, and cancer set in, sickness set in, because he was too long in the hog pen. He was too long suffering. But when you make your mind up,
when you make your mind up that you're going to come to God, I'm praying, we're getting ready for the eclipse on Monday. And somebody called me and said, Bishop, what's going to happen? It's going to be flood. It's going to be rising of earth, breakthrough of things, and going to clear up mind. Sister Renee, God bless you tonight. every letter, every telephone call. God is able to lift you up to the next level. You know, I want to say this. I just feel like people need to listen to the word of the ancestors. Well, you might know a breakthrough coming quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I want to thank those that have called, those that participated, but God is still sitting high and look low. You know what happened in New York was an earthquake, and they one behind the other. California, they had snow, mudslides. We've been having disaster March, April, and we've been having disasters because men have turned away from God. Like Mama Jo said, if my people are called by my name, I'm going to accept and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal the land. Or come on the air, pull out the eggs, something wrong with the eggs and something wrong with some of the chickens, got chicken flu. So there's a lot going on, and men are started killing each other. Babies are being born, losing limbs. God don't like that, and I don't like it. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever you're going through, it's going to be all right. Many people call me. But I just want to say, for 3 days, we was off the air. We had a flood in California, then a snowstorm. And in New York, we had an earthquake and had a recorded earthquake. Now, I want to tell you, I will be outside on that day, sitting outside in my yard, praying, seeing what's going to happen, because some of the stuff happened ain't happened yet. The flood, storm, and you're going to find out that you're going to have a tsunami, flood, then you're going to have a point where earth come up and make dry land. This eclipse is turning things all the way around. And you said, Bishop, what I should do? And then you can do but just pray. This is God's business and the ancestors' business. And you can't beat that. Some guy say he had been to hell and back telling that lie. Because he was a European white guy. Why would he lie like that? When you got people that came over from Africa drowned in the sea. You got people came over here and died of chicken pox and all kinds of diseases. And you have people that really didn't get reparation. So why would somebody lie and say, I've been to hell and heaven back, which is a lie? If you hold the word of God to you, it will teach you all that you know, all that you need to know. And I want to tell you, 2020, God told me to get ready for a financial breakthrough. 8138, I want to tell you, all is well. God healed your body. And you just keep praising God for healing body, mind, soul, and spirit. Tonight, I want to talk about divine healing. And divine healing, Marilyn, come from God. And I'm going to pray tonight for somebody who might be listening. Father God, we ask for divine healing tonight. East, west, north, and south. We call for divine healing on the man, the boy, the girl. We ask for the financial blessing. Right now, somebody needs to pay the light bill, the gas bill. Somebody just needs to know that an overflow is coming. They need to know the anointing of the Holy Ghost is still real. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the most holy divine God, I decree to heal in east, west, north, and south. I'm praying for you, Sister Loretta. I'm praying for you, Brother George. I'm praying for you, Brother Kenneth. And you know, I want to let you know that whatever you need, God got what you need, God got what you want. And I want to tell you, hold your head high that you're in the land of the living. Praise God, you can still praise God. We're going to go to the book of Nina.
Bishop Turner and I want to come to you. We're talking about the Bible throughout the world, what's going on. And I want to say to you that we feel that we must come together as people to make things happen. Don't forget, I'm concerned about your children, your family. I'm concerned about you being blessed. I'm concerned about those who belong to you. Yes, I want you to know that we can change what's going on in Chicago, Detroit, California, what's going on over the world. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that. And I just want to come to you and let you know that I'm concerned about your family problem. What's going on in your life. I'm concerned about you. If you'll call me and I call you, we begin to communicate with tools. Wherever you might be, with God, all things are possible. Don't forget, give me a call. Don't forget, I will pray with you and for you. And whatever you need, God can grant you your need. And I want you to know, we must begin to network and work together to make things happen for your home, my home, your village, your business. I want to let you know your business about to flow. I'll tell you that the things that are going on can work out for you right now. I'm glad to come to you. I want to say this to you today, or wherever I live, all is well. And I want to say it again, all is well for you, the new job, and the things that you're trying to do. I'm trying to let you know that God got your back. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, if you're trying to retire or you're trying to get a new job or just trying to work on your health, I want to be with you every step of the way. Your miracle is on its way. Your blessing is on its way. I want to take this time to say your blessing is a moment away. I want to take this time to say that you can get what you want. You can have what you want. I want to say that to you, and I want you to know, evening, night, day, east, west, north, and south, I'm going to pray for you. It don't get too dark. It don't get too rainy. It don't too much snow. Winter, I'm going to pray that your blessing come through. Let me say it again. I'm going to pray that your blessing come through right now. I want you to go knowing, sowing, and flowing in the right direction. Direction that you can be successful. In the $1 trillion flow, you can be a part of the $1 million club right here on Block Talk Radio, where I'm on 5 days a week, Monday.
Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You gotta tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Woo! Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say.
Tell them for yourself. Don't do it without me.
Come on, say it like you mean.
God is making up. We're praying for the people out in California tonight, those in Kentucky, those in New York that had an earthquake, some of the floods that happened down in Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, all down through there. God is still in control, and God's trying to get your attention. I want to go to the second book of Enoch. Enoch was caught up with God, and God thought enough of Enoch to carry him to the heavenly realm. And I want you to I want to share that with you tonight, the book of Enoch. And I want you, I'm going to get that book where some of you can have it. And we need to have that because it's great knowledge.
Be an eyewitness to the wise and great and inconceivable and immutable realm of God Almighty, of the very wonderful and glorious and bright and many-eyed station of the Lord's servants, and of the inaccessible throne of the Lord, and of the degrees and manifestations of the incorporeal hosts, and of the ineffable ministration of the multitude of the elements, and of the various apparitions and inexpressible singing of the host of cherubim, and of the boundless light. At that time, he said, when my 165th year was completed, I begat my son, Methuselah. After this too, I lived 200 years and completed all the years of my life, 365 years. On the first day of the month, I was in my house alone and was resting on my bed and slept. When I was asleep, great distress came up into my heart, and I was weeping with my eyes in sleep, and I could not understand what this distress was or what would happen to me. And there appeared to me two men, exceeding big, so that I never saw such on earth. Their faces were shining like the sun. Their eyes, too, were like a burning light, and from their lips was fire coming forth, with clothing and singing of various kinds. In appearance, purple, their wings brighter than gold, their hands whiter than snow. They were standing at the head of my bed and began to call me by my name. And I arose from my sleep and saw clearly those two men standing in front of me. And I saluted them and was seized with fear. And the appearance of my face was changed from terror. And those men said to me, have courage, Enoch. Do not fear. The eternal God sent us to you. And lo, you shall today ascend with us into heaven. And you shall tell your sons and all your household all that they shall do without you on earth in your house. And let no one seek you till the Lord return you to them. And I made haste to obey them, and went out from my house and made to the doors as it was ordered me, and summoned my sons Methuselah and Regem and Gadad, and made known to them all the marvels those men had told me. 2. Listen to me, my children. I know not whither I go, or what will befall me. Now therefore, my children, I tell you, turn not from God before the face of the vain who made not heaven and earth, for these shall perish, and those who worship them. And may the Lord make confident your hearts in the fear of him. And now, my children, let no one think to seek me until the Lord return me to you. 3. It came to pass when Enoch had told his sons that the angels took him on their wings and bore him up on to the first heaven and placed him on the clouds. And there I looked, and again I looked higher and saw the ether, and they placed me on the first heaven and showed me a very...
That was the angel, Kerimah, with the power of God. And I just want to share it with you tonight, some of that story.
Injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident,
that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free,
He must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Well, to move on out of it for a moment. Martin's very, very, very great man. Martin's very, for two reasons. Partly because, just because he is. And because he's a real Christian, and he really believes in nonviolence. He's arrived at something in himself, which permits him, allows him to do it. And he still has great moral authority.
Everybody, let's give a big round of applause to the Caravan.
Thank you. But if not, there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. And there was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You read about him a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king. And when he ruled, he ruled. And when he issued an order, he meant business. And Nebuchadnezzar issued an order. He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow before that golden image and worship it. Now, those of you who read the Bible remember that story. One day Nebuchadnezzar called in the judges and the governors and the sheriffs, and they had a dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to them, I'm instructing you to see that everybody bows before this golden image. But there were three young men around there.
Yes, yes, sir.
One's name was Shadrach. The other one's name was Meshach. And the other name was Abednego. And they answered, and I read it from the scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king.
Yes.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, I want you to notice first here that these young men practiced civil disobedience.
Yes.
Civil disobedience is the refusal to abide by an order of the government or of the state or even of the court that your conscience tells you is unjust. Civil disobedience is based on a commitment to conscience. In other words, one who practices civil disobedience is obedient to what he considers a higher law. And then there comes a time when a moral man can obey a law which his conscience tells him is unjust. And I tell you this morning, my friends, that history has moved on Great moments have often come forth because there were those individuals in every age and every generation who were willing to say, I will be obedient to a higher law. These men were saying, I must be disobedient to a king in order to be obedient to the king. And those people who so often criticize those of us who come to those moments when we must practice civil disobedience never remember that even right here in America, in order to get free from the oppression and the colonialism of the British Empire, our nation practiced civil disobedience. For what represented civil disobedience more than the Boston Tea Party? Never forget that everything that Hitler did in Germany was legal. It was legal to do everything that Hitler did to the Jews. It was a law in Germany that Hitler issued himself that it was wrong and illegal to aid and comfort a Jew in Hitler's Germany. But I tell you, if I had lived in Hitler's Germany with my attitude, I would have openly broken that law.
Make it plain.
I would have practiced civil disobedience. And so it is important to see that there are times when a man-made law is out of harmony with the moral law of the universe. There are times when human laws are out of harmony with eternal and divine laws. And when that happens, you have an obligation to break it. And I'm happy that in breaking it, I have some good company.
Yes.
I have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I have Jesus and Socrates.
Make it plain.
And I have all of the early Christians who refused to bow. Now the second interesting point is that these men never doubted God and his power as they did what they did. They made it very clear that they knew that God had the power to spare them. They said that to the king. Now we know that the God that we worship is able to deliver us. And that grew out of their experience. They had known God. They had experienced God in nature. They knew God as the creator. And then they had seen God in history.
Yes. Make it plain.
And then they had seen God, I'm sure, in their personal lives. They never doubted God's power to deliver them. But let me move now to the basic point of the message. And oh, this morning, if we forget everything I said, I hope you won't forget this. It came to the point after saying our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if he doesn't deliver us, we still are not going to bow. But if not, do you get that? And these men were saying, the And our faith is so deep that we've found something so dear and so precious that nothing can turn us away from it. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, this simply means, my friends, that the ultimate test of one's faith is his ability to say, but if not. You see, there is what you may call an if faith, and there is a though faith. And the permanent faith, the lasting, the powerful faith, is the though faith. Now, the if faith says, if all goes well, if life is hopeful, prosperous, and happy, if I don't have to go to jail, if I don't have to face the agonies and burdens of life, if I'm not ever call bad names because of taking a stand that I feel that I must take. If none of these things happen, then I'll have faith in God. Then I'll be all right. That's the if faith. You know, a lot of people have the if faith. Jacob found himself in that dilemma once, and his faith was contingent on an if. And he said, now, if God will be with me,
yeah,
and if he will keep me in this way that I go,
yeah,
and if God will give me bread to eat,
yeah,
and raiment to put on, that I come again to my Father's house in peace,
yeah,
then shall the Lord be my God. That's the if faith. Jacob hadn't quite gotten to the essence of religion. There is a though faith, though. And the though faith says, though things go wrong,
yes. Yes, sir.
Though evil is temporarily triumphant,
yes, sir.
Though sickness comes and the cross looms,
yes.
Nevertheless, I'm going to believe anyway, and I'm going to have faith anyway. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And old Job got to that point, and he had a though faith. He looked out, and everything that he had been taken away from him. And even his wife said to him, now, what you ought to do, Brother Job, is to curse God and die.
Yes.
God has been unkind to you. And you should have let God know a long time ago that you would only follow him if he allowed you to stay rich.
Yes. Make it plain.
If he allowed your cattle to stay in place, you ought to curse him and die, Job, because he hadn't treated you right. But Job said, honey, I'm sorry, but my faith is deeper than that.
Yes.
Though he slay me,
yes, yes,
yet will I trust him. My faith is a though faith.
Yes.
And this is the essence of life and religion. The question is whether you have an if faith,
yes,
or whether you have a though faith. You know what this says in substance, that ultimately religion is not a bargaining matter.
Yes.
No, no.
A lot of people bargain with God.
Amen.
If you just let me avoid pain, God, if you allow me to be happy in all of its dimensions, if you don't allow any suffering to come, if you don't allow frustrating moments to come, then I'll be all right. I'll give you a tenth of my income, And I'll go to church and I'll have faith in you. But religion is not a bargaining experience. It's not a commercial relationship. And you know, no great experience exists in the bargaining atmosphere. Think of friendship. Think of love. And think of marriage. These things are not based on if. They are based on though. These great experiences are not based on a bargaining relationship, not an if faith, but a though faith. And I'm coming to my conclusion now. And I want to say to you this morning, my friends, that somewhere along the way, you should discover something that's so dear, so precious to you. It is so eternally worthful that you will never give it up. You ought to discover some principle.
Yes, sir.
You ought to have some great faith that grips you so much that you will never give it up.
Never.
Somehow you go on and say, I know that the God that I worship is able to deliver me. But if not, I'm going on anyhow. I'm going to stand up for it anyway. What does this mean? It means in the final analysis, you do right not to avoid hell. If you're doing right merely to keep from going to something that traditional theology has called hell, then you are doing right. If you do right merely to go to a condition that theologians have called heaven, you are doing right. If you are doing right to avoid pain and to achieve happiness and pleasure, then you are doing right. Ultimately, you must do right because it's right to do right. You've got to say, but if not. You must love ultimately because it's lovely to love. You must be just because it's right to be just. You must be honest because it's right to be honest. This is what this text is saying more than anything else. And finally, you must do it because it has gripped you so much that you are willing to die for it if necessary. And I say to you this morning that if you have never found something so dear and so precious to you that you will die for it, then you aren't fit to live.
Make it plain. Make it plain.
You may be 38 years old as I happen to be. And one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause. You refuse to do it because you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You are afraid that you will lose your job, or you are afraid that you will be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity. Are you afraid that somebody will stab you, or shoot at you, or bomb your house? So you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live until you are 90. But you are just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. And the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You died when you refused to stand up for justice. These boys stand before us today. And I thank God for them. For they had found something. The fiery furnace couldn't stop them from believing. And they said, throw us into the fiery furnace.
Yes, sir.
But you know, the interesting thing is, the Bible talks about a miracle. Because they had faith enough to say, but if not, God was with them as an eternal companion. And this is what I want to say finally. That there is a reward if you do right for righteousness' sake. It says that somehow that burning fiery furnace was transformed into an air-conditioned living room. Somebody looked in there and said, we put three in here, but now we see four. Don't ever think you're by yourself. Go on to jail if necessary, but you never go alone. Take a stand for that which is right. The world may misunderstand you and criticize you, but you never go alone. For somewhere I read that one with God is a majority. And God has a way of transforming a minority into a majority. Walk with him this morning and believe in him and do what is right. And he'll be with you even until the consummation of the ages. Yes, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Where are you going this morning, my friends? Tell the world that you're going with truth. You're going with justice. You're going with goodness. And you will have an eternal companionship. And the world will look at you. And they will understand you, for your fiery furnace will be around you. But you go on anyhow. But if not, I will not bow. And God grant that we will never bow before the gods of evil. But if not, there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. And there was a king of Babylon by the name of
before my face the elders and rulers of the stellar orders, and showed 200 angels who rule the stars and their services to the heavens, and fly with their wings, and come round all those who sail. 5. And here I looked down and saw the treasure houses of the snow, and the angels who keep their terrible storehouses, and the clouds they come out and into which they go. Fifth, they showed me the treasure house of the dew, like oil of the earth, and the appearance of its form as of all the flowers of the earth. Further, many angels guarding the treasure houses of these things, and how they're made to shut and open. Seven, and those men took me and led me up onto the second heaven and showed me darkness greater than earthly darkness. And there I saw prisoners hanging, watched, awaiting the great and boundless judgment. And these angels were dark looking, more than earthly darkness, and incessantly making weeping through all hours. And I said to the men who were with me, wherefore are these incessantly tortured? They answered me, these are God's apostates, who obeyed not God's commands, but took counsel with their own will, and turned away with their prince, who also is fastened on the fifth heaven. I felt great pity for them. They saluted me and said to me, man of God, pray for us to the Lord. I answered to them, who am I, a mortal man, that I should pray for angels? Who knows whither I go, or what will befall me, or who will pray for me? Eight, and those men took me thence, and led me up unto the third heaven, and placed me there. And I looked downwards, and saw the produce of these places, such as has never been known for goodness. And I saw all the sweet flowering trees, and beheld their fruits, which were sweet smelling, and all the foods borne by them, bubbling with fragrant exhalation. And in the midst of the trees, that of life, in that place whereon the Lord rests when he goes up into paradise. And this tree is of ineffable goodness and fragrance, and adorned more than every existing thing. And on all sides it is in form gold-looking, and vermilion, and fire-like, and covers all, and it has produce from all fruits. Its root is in the garden at the earth's end, and paradise is between corruptibility and incorruptibility. And two springs come out, which send forth honey and milk, and their springs send forth oil and wine, and they separate into four parts, and go round with quiet course, and go down into the paradise of Eden, between corruptibility and incorruptibility. And thence they go forth along the earth, and have a revolution to their circle, even as other elements. And here there is no unfruitful tree, and every place is glad. And there are 300 angels, very bright, who keep the garden, and with incessant sweet singing and never silent voices serve the Lord throughout all days and hours. And I said, how very sweet is this place? And those men said to me, 9. This place, O Enoch, is prepared for the righteous, who endure all manner of offense from those that exasperate their souls, who avert their eyes from iniquity and make righteous judgment, and give bread to the hungering, and cover the naked with clothing, and raise up the fallen, and help injured orphans, and who walk without fault before the face of the Lord, and serve him alone. And for them is prepared this place for eternal inheritance. 10. And those two men led me up onto the northern side,
and out of